Hello, and welcome to the Podcast of Steel. Here, I share news, reviews, my adventures, interviews, and more. You can always expect some Superman content from this show, but I'm a lover of all things geeky, so you never know what you're going to get. Now, let's leap into action with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel. Hello again. Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel here. And this is episode 2 of the Podcast of Steel. Welcome back. Thanks for listening or watching on YouTube. I mentioned that I missed this on the previous episode, and I have. Sitting down and talking and sharing my thoughts, and this is going to be a fun episode where I share my thoughts on this week's news, everything that's been happening with me, and speaking with a guest. And that guest this week is Paul Edwards from DC World and the Geek Garage. Paul is a fellow blogger and lover of Superman and superhero entertainment. And we had a great chat about his origin story, about DC World, and about Geek Garage, the business that Paul has started that became, a project of passion and has now turned into a business. And we had a great time talking about that. But before we do listen to that interview, I wanted to change the way this podcast is brought to you by talking about this week's news at the beginning of each episode, talking about what I've been up to, what's been exciting me, what I've been up to, and what I've been doing. And this last week, as a Superman fan, has been a good week for me and a good week for so many around the world. It was the Superman anniversary, 85 years since Superman appeared in Action Comics and changed the world of comics. And without that fateful day, I wouldn't be the person I am today. I'm sure I'd probably be a lot more boring if Superman didn't exist. But this week has been fun. It was the Superman anniversary. And everywhere on social media, people were sharing what they love about my hero. And it was great to see some representation. Superman doesn't always get a lot of love. I mean, he does from me. Every day for me is Superman Day. But it was really nice to see so many big pages sharing Superman content. Superman trailers from years gone by. And James Gunn sharing a photograph of a Superman Legacy script, which almost blew up the internet. But it was just nice to see so many people share their love for my favorite hero. And I shared a few posts, as I always do. But it was nice to interact with people from all over the world and see them share what Superman means to them. And I shared this little gem, this comic. If you're on YouTube now, you are looking at it. And this is my copy of Action Comics number 1. Of course, it's a reprint. But my copy, I decided many years ago that if I was at a Comic-Con or at an event where I knew a Superman writer or artist would be, I would break the ice, as it were, by showing them this magnificent reprint that came out a few years ago. And then I would ask them nicely to sign it. And they have done over the years. And I've had some wonderful interactions with people. And there is still lots more room for more autographs. And I can't wait to add those names to that front page. And the inside, if needed. The comic in itself is gorgeous. I would love to have been back there in 1938 to witness this comic turn up on newsstands. I have to be careful because if I start reading this, I'm going to get distracted because the artwork jumps off the page. And, you know, if I was a child back in 1938, seeing this for the first time, reading about this new hero, I would have been very excited. Probably as excited as I am today when a new Superman story comes out. But this, one of my prize items, I got to share some more this week. Some autographs on there from some fantastic people, but two very special names on here being Tim Sale and George Perez, who are sadly no longer with us. And I am forever grateful for their contributions to the world of Superman. for helping them continue my hero story with fantastic stories and artwork. And makes me happy just thinking that I've got to meet them in person and thank them for everything that they have done. And they are immortalized on my special comic. And another book that I've been rereading and enjoying over the last few months, because it is a mammoth book, is Superboys by Brad Rieker. If you have not read this, if you have not enjoyed this book, then I cannot recommend it enough. It tells the story of two very, very important people, and that is Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the creators of Superman. And with great detail, this book tells their story of how they brought the world's greatest superhero, I'm biased, to life, and the trials and tribulations they've had over the years. This is a stunning, stunning read. And hopefully one day, Brad, if you are listening or watching, I would be honored if you were a very special guest on the Podcast of Steel to talk about your love for Superman. And just, I would love to hear how you made this book happen. The research that must have gone into this book is astonishing. And if you've read it, you understand why, because this book is so detailed. And Brad, the invitation is there. Please, please come on the show and talk to me about Superman and your Superboys book. Let's manifest that out into the world and get Brad onto the Podcast of Steel. Also this week, though, I had an very insightful and exciting meeting with the organizers of Portsmouth Comic Con. As you know, Portsmouth Comic Con means a lot to me. Not only is it based in my hometown, it's one of the most wonderful cons I've ever been to. It's family-oriented. It's got some fantastic people working behind the scenes to make it enjoyable for everybody that attends. It is in a real event, a Comic-Con that goes back to its roots. It's about the comics. It's about the passions. It's about the cosplayers. It's about having a good time and meeting old and new friends and sharing what you love about your fandoms, whether it be comics, Star Wars, Star Trek, Doctor Who, board games, cosplay, crafting. It's a magnificent event. And I went to the Guild Hall, which is a beautiful building where the con will be held in a few weeks' time, in June. It's not far. And I got to hear some behind-the-scenes information about how the con will be changing this year. There's some exciting things happening. And again, it's all with the guests in mind. Not the guests in such that are the celebrities and the comic creators, but the guests being the people that are attending. Everything that they are doing for the Ports of Comic-Con has that person in mind. They want to make it the best experience for each and every visitor. And I love that. It makes me proud to be a Portsmouthonian, if that's a word, but a proud geek as well, to see so many thousands of people and families attend this event and just enjoy the weekend. It's only been going for a few years, but I can see this con in the next few years just getting bigger and better each year, and I can't wait to see it grow. And what they've got in store for this year's event, without spoiling anything, it's very exciting. And I can't wait. My little book is filling up. My Daily Planet journal and note-taking book has got some very exciting things in there for this year, including Portsmouth Comic Con. And again, those guys are doing some fantastic work. And hopefully in the next few weeks, I will have some of the organizers on the Podcast of Steel to talk about this magnificent event. But yeah, it's been a fun week. And soon, over the upcoming weeks, I've got some more adventures that I will be able to talk about more when I'm allowed to. But the Geek of Steel is very happy right now. Lots of things are kicking off. Over the upcoming months, we've got the Blue Beetle movie, we've got the Flash movie, we've got Barbie, we've got Oppenheimer. It is a big year for big movies, and I can't wait to start watching those and reviewing them. But Yeah, the Geek of Steel. He is back with a vengeance as such. I mean, I've not been anywhere, but the podcast, I'm looking forward to getting some guests on here soon. There's a few lined up. There's some dates planned for some chats. But this first chat, which I'll be sharing with you right now, is with Paul Edwards, a fellow Superman and DC Comics fan and a lover of all things geeky. And we talked about his origin story, his passion for sharing his adventures, and how he turned his love for pop culture into a business, how the Geek Garage came to be. And it was great to sit down with Paul and talk about that. We've been friends for years, and we've always talked about our love for superheroes and comics and movies. But sitting down on a podcast is something that we haven't done before. And it was a great chat. It was very fun. So I will be back after this interview to wrap up things. But without further ado, please enjoy my chat with Paul Edwards from DC World and the Geek Garage. Paul, welcome to the podcast of Steel, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Luke. Thanks for having me on.
No, this has been a long time coming. This is a chat that I've wanted to have for quite some time. We've got a lot to talk about in this little interview. We need to talk about DC World. We need to talk about Geek Garage. We need to talk about the adventures that we have been on over the years. Me and you have been doing this fun little project of passion for years now. Yeah. We've put blood, sweat and tears into it, and it's been a fantastic journey. But for those that don't know about you, there's not that many people out there, Paul, but please, your origin story for the listeners, please, Paul. What's going on with you?
So, everybody, Paul Edwards, I'm 44. 79, I was born, not far off the first Superman film.
Yes.
What got me into it all. But yeah, I've been a DC geek probably all my life. Big Superman fan like yourself, Luke. He's the main man for me and always will be. And yeah, over the years, met my wife when I was 30. We got married, settled down, started to sort myself out, created DC World, which if everyone doesn't know or does know, all the fun adventures we get up with there. And then I moved to Wickford 4 years ago and had an empty garage. So we started the Geek Garage, and we'll chat more on that shortly, I'm sure.
Yeah, but yeah, it's quite a story. You've got a very good story that I wanted to share with people. Obviously, you've got all that love and passion for DC Comics and everything else that's geeky, just like me. And we've shared those passions over the years, and we've been invited to events, and we've had these wonderful moments where we've met up by chance sometimes. And we'll get to talking about that as well. But I think one of the first events we were at before we really knew each other as friends as such was the Lego exhibit.
Yeah.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
Art of the Brick. That was it, which was a brilliant event, one that I miss. I love Lego. I love superheroes. And they combine that with the work of Nathan Sawaya beautifully. And yeah, we were there the same place at the same time. And a friendship was created.
Yeah.
And over the years, meeting up at events, working with DC Comics and Warner Brothers UK, It's the same old faces, which is always nice to see when we're at these events and we get to hang out and enjoy these moments and share them with each other. So how did you get into this world working with Warner Brothers and DC Comics?
I think I'll go back. I think it's got to be this summer coming up, 9 or 10 years DC World, roughly. And it started off in like a Sunday night passion project. My son was like, why don't you get a DC? I didn't use Twitter and Instagram back then, you know, it was Facebook and that was it.
Yeah.
So created a DC World account. There was already a DC World, so I had to get the underscore DC World and stayed with it since. And it was like lots of giveaways, competitions, started finding there's a lot of other fans like me out there. And this was a new thing we was all interacting in. It was pretty much before Instagram really took off with influencers and paid projects and stuff. And over the years, we've built just the natural following up. It went well. And it was probably around the time of the first version of the Justice League come out that I think Warner Brothers just found me out somewhere and emailed me for going up to do like a, it was like a premiere or a press screening. So I went with my son and we loved it. I think like, I don't know if you were there. I think you were. I think Kibler was there, but it was sort of at a time where none of us sort of knew each other.
No,
back then.
We were. I think we were like aware of each other. We were following each other, but like, we weren't friends as such back then. We knew names.
Yeah.
We don't know the people behind those accounts. I think back then we were all still quite using that power of anonymity.
That's probably
but we were there, but so we knew there were people behind their page, but not who they were.
Yeah.
And then we started meeting up more and finding out, this isn't a bot account. This is a real person behind this account. It's real.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't always see the faces behind it, do you? And then no. It's weird. You get the buzz because you're at the event. And I know looking back now, that was quite a very small event, but it was a big thing for me. It's probably a big thing for you. It's we've got to be part of this other universe going on here. And you used to see this online. And I think it may be was it a year or two after that for when did Batman v Superman? In the line of Batman v Superman and stuff coming out, stuff took off more. Zack Snyder did like Forbidden Planet and we'd done the premiere. I remember you was opposite me at the
that one. A nice little bit of synchronicity. Yeah, we were both at the Batman v Superman red carpet event. Anybody can go to these events.
Yeah.
Anybody can, you just got to get to London like first thing in the morning, get a little wristband, hang around all day, and then get in an actual cattle pen, stand very still, and just hope that you get something signed. And I was there. Pretty much that was one of my first times going to London for an event. And I jumped out of some comfort zones there, had an amazing time. And I think the Geek of Steel was kind of born that day.
Yeah.
But out of all those thousands of people that were there, you were pretty much opposite. I think you've got a picture. You had a picture of me somewhere, and it was like, wow.
You got your hat signed, didn't you?
I managed to get one of my Superman cap signed and a few other things as well. It was a crazy night. And it's weird and fun that we were both there at the same time. But as you said, it's seeing that other side of that world of being invited to events, being very grateful for building up these relationships with companies where they invite us to them. It's, you know, we've both had comments in the past where people are like, oh, you're so lucky. You're so lucky to get invited to these events. And I keep saying, you know, the luckier you get is when you work hard. And you work for it. And we've been doing this, you know, like over a decade now. And as you said, it's a project of passion and it's just been a fantastic ride. So what have been some of your most proudest moments, Paul, being part of DC World?
I would say, I will bring this up. I know meeting like the Justice League and stuff. I've lost my mum a few years before from cancer. Got to the summer of 2017, I think it was. I lost my dad. And then that Christmas, Ace Comic Con came up in New York. And I was like, I didn't have the money back then and stuff. It was like, I'd love to go. There was some inheritance going on and whatever. So my wife was like, go and enjoy yourself. Treat yourself. She didn't want to come. She's not into all this stuff, Luke. And then so I went out and just to like meet the Justice League, get photos, autographs. And then I won the meet and greet with Henry and the Jim Lee art print. And it was great to have flown all that way and not only the money that was spent, but to get this extra gift at the end of it that I couldn't have bought. That will always probably be the highlight of that, of just getting to chat to Henry for like an hour with just like 30, 40 of us chatting to him, doing photos. Plus the rest, like Gal Gadot was amazing.
Yeah, she was there.
Ezra and everyone else was like just a brilliant. One of the best things, I'd met Ray Fisher like a year or two before. He'd done a Sea of Heroes event that I know more. And I chatted to him forever there. I was like last in the photo ops, I had the jackets and we had them on in the photos and we was chatting and he knew me of DC World and he'd been like tweeting and stuff. And I walked into his photo booth at Ace Comic Con. This is probably like 2 years after. Totally unannounced. You go in the photo booth, so people know cons, how they work. And you walk in and there's four or five in front of you because they're filtering you through the photos. And he literally then see me next to him and, hey, Paul, DC World. And then he just picked me up and then we had the photo where he's carrying me. And it was just a mad experience that he still could remember me. And just from a one-off meeting, it was mad. But a great, great weekend and it was well worth the event. That's probably the highlight for it. Plus meeting you guys, and thanks to Warner Brothers for all they do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little sort of gaggle of us that all those guys are going to be on the podcast soon to talk about our adventures together. But yeah, it is always nice when we get to go to these events and we see new faces and old faces as well. You know, when these events happen, it's normally very last minute and there's lots of emails going on. Luckily, we've built some fantastic relationships with the marketing team for Warner Brothers in the UK and DC Comics. But a lot of these events, a lot of these screenings that we go to, we're there to review the film and to watch it. So sometimes we get the chance to speak with the actors and the filmmakers, which is a great honor. So we need to have seen the film. But before watching those films, we have to sign like a lot of NDAs. Yeah. And you can't even mention that you're going to London. You can't talk about it. You can't mention it. So we don't know if we're going to meet each other at these events. But when we do, it's like we can, like, normally I think you'll know if I'm going to London because you'll see me post a story on Instagram and Luke's going. And I think there was a little run of events where you kept on going to the same coffee shop and I would walk past and you'd know if I'd be there. Like, I'd be that man with the red carnation in his jacket pocket.
That's the one.
I found him.
I felt like I was cheating on my wife when I used to be sitting in the coffee shop and you'd walk by. And then over the years with more and more events going on, you'd be like, you'd have a little walk by, see if I'm in there, then you'd come back in. It's just weird, but it's one of our little things we used to
do. That's it. We're there now. But Mrs. DC World, I promise there is nothing going on here. It's simply platonic. Paul is a wonderful man, and you are a very lucky woman. But yeah, she doesn't come to the events, but doesn't she get jealous when you mentioned some names recently? I think there was an event where you got invited to. She was like, why didn't you invite me?
I think... Would she have come to the Blackadder thing? I don't know. She's not into all this. Well, she'll sit and watch The Mandalorian with me and my son, and she supports me all the way with this and Geek Garage and everything. I think for her, she would love to meet Tom Hardy and Cillian Murphy. If there are any other events, she would be there in a second, Luke. Trust me.
Well, you've got Oppenheimer coming out later this year.
You never know.
So I'll get a word in. Let's for all those years of her support for you, let's get her to a premiere and then her sort of meet all these heroes of hers as well. But yeah, and that's, you know, DC World is one of those first big accounts that I followed as well. And it was like, this is you were an inspiration to me and of other people that are blogging for doing it the way that, you know, with ethics and integrity and sharing things that you love with other people all around the world. And with that, as we know, it doesn't always go to plan. You can't always have the same opinions as someone else. And we've had to, you know, brush off some things in the past. I mean, people always want to sort of cause grief online and be negative sometimes. And I think we've both gotten better with dealing with that. But how have you dealt with it, though, over the years, and sort of, you know, going from dealing with trolls and dealing with the good and bad sides of the internet?
I would say, and I know a lot of even the younger generation who are getting on the social medias now, we've all been trolled. And no matter whether you've got 1,000 followers or 1,000,000 followers, it happens to absolutely everybody. A lot of it is just jealous people out there have got nothing better to do. And my advice, ignore everything they're saying. I know it's hard. Block them, ignore them. Whatever, and I found that the best way. At the early stages, you just want to retaliate and say your piece, but then it just becomes this battle of online chatting and negativeness. Just there's enough been going on in the world the last 3 or 4 years. I think it's just the best way. Ignore it, get rid of it. Don't delete your account. If you're having fun and stuff and chatting to other people, do it. But block them, ignore them. They might create another account, but you'll find over days, weeks, and months, they'll just flutter off into the thin air. Yeah, and trust me, I'm not normally one to bite my tongue, Luke, being a redhead. but you just train yourself over the years.
You do, and that is it. We've learned to deal with situations over the years and how to deal with stressful situations. But I don't think, especially for us, it's that fact that we've never taken anything for granted. We know that we are very lucky to have these moments of being invited to a screening or going to walk on the red carpet, which is just pinch me moments. There's been a few times where we've looked at each other on the red carpet and thought, "Are we here? Are we supposed to be here? Are we going to get told like we're invading it soon?" But I think that's something that I never want to lose, is that feeling of gratefulness and being excited, being giddy. We've had some fantastic times at the Warner Brothers offices in London, where they do these private screenings and press screenings, and it's always difficult to know how to act accordingly because they're quite fancy, these places. But we've been to a few screenings and gotten very excited for certain things. We were there back end of last year for Black Adam, and spoiler alert, Superman does appear in that film. If you didn't know already. We were on the same row for that one. I think we were just shouting and screaming at each other. I think I punched Kibler in the arm a couple of times. But it's that excitement that we both have, and that's partly to do with the passion for it. And that's, again, I doubt I'll ever lose that. It's something that's always been there, as for you as well. And I think that's where you've advanced with DC World and then Geek Garage came to be. You've brought those passions and you've turned it into a business, which is what we're going to talk about now. And that is Geek Garage. So yeah, I remember when Geek Garage started out, literally, it was a garage full of geeky stuff. But now you got a shop, and then that shop became a bigger shop. So tell me more about Geek Garage. When did you get this epiphany of an idea, Paul?
I think so. I was never into pops till I think I was at a Comic Con, might be 10 years ago or whatever. And a kid in front of me, I kid you not, had a Superman pop. And we was queuing for Brandon Routh. And I used to just get pictures signed. And this kid put down this pop and Brandon signed the front of the pop. And I was so jealous. I was like, what a cool idea and a cool thing to collect signed. Because I like getting the autographs.
Yeah.
And they're just in folders to keep for years. So along came the Funko Pops, and I started buying, and I was getting certain ones for certain conventions and spending an awful lot of money getting them signed, and I've still got them. And we moved to where I am now in Wickford, Essex, 4 years ago with the empty garage. We'd never had a garage, and I sort of took it over. There was some racking in there, and I just started buying and selling some cheap, like, Star Wars Pops and a few others for, like, £3, £4, £5. In the mid-end of 2019. And then it started going well, and I was using the money and just putting it back in and buying a bit more stock or sourcing it online, and got some helmets and things like this. And it got to near the Christmas, and I set up the Geek Garage company. I registered it online, set it up as a company. I thought, sure, I'll give this a go as a bit of a passion. And that time, COVID had just sort of been talked about in China and whatnot, like the November, December. And I think January, I got the website set up and learned the whole lot of that side of business. It was all new for me. And got that going, setting up all the government stuff, things like this for your books, tax keeping, etc. And then the February, March started to take off. I met Funko, got an account with those. Lucky times, really. Mm. And then the April hit when we had full-on lockdown. No shops were open. And you know the collector's market. Everyone was furloughed. People were working from home. People were getting paid to stay at home and not working. People had spare cash. And the website in April just shut off like tenfold. And I think it's because I could still accept stock and deliveries. I was at work. So I didn't get any furlough and stuff like this. Online went. I was coming home from work, packing online orders, post them the next day. I'm quite lucky. Everything's quite near me. And here we are now, 3¾ years in, with from the garage to the market we've done for a few months. Me and my wife, God bless her, we get up at 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning doing the market stall with just a selection. And then near the market up the high street, the council rented out these little like 3-meter cubicles. Some of you have seen it. It looks a nice size, but when you're there, it's tiny. Four people in there, it was full up. And
you're not small. You're not small either, so you're going to be taking up a lot of space.
I was like hidden in the corner. There were some other avenues I was trying for last year. Some other things might have changed some life choices, and the Geek Garage may have gone. And lucky they didn't pan out how I thought they was going to go. And then got to near Christmas, this shop came up just down the road at the high street, Popeye High Street shop. And I thought, I'm going to throw everything to it. It's not going to kill me. If I do a year and it doesn't work, it doesn't work. If I do a year and it does work, I could end up doing this full time, which is
That's the plan,
you know.
You can always earn more money, Paul. That's what they say. Yeah. You can always earn more money. So just keep on throwing money at it till the problem comes around. But yeah, but now you've got this shop. You just recently opened it, like last weekend, wasn't it?
This weekend, yeah, just this Saturday, a couple days ago. Yeah, it was mad.
It looks like a fantastic week. I mean, we're all the sort of the DC family, this is a bit of a name drop, but that's the title that The Rock gave us. So we kind of we have to use that name. If The Rock gives you a nickname, you use it. We're all part of a WhatsApp group, and Paul's been sharing his journey with us and saying he's been sharing all the excitement news, even a press release, Paul. You had your own press release, mate, that was a huge moment for you. But we love seeing it. We love seeing all of us get up to all our little projects that we do, no matter what it is. And this one, you've been at it for so long, and it's great to see. So you've been working on this shop. You've been slugging your guts out. And you finally had your opening day. You had Star Wars people there. You had superheroes, and you had a queue around the block.
That queue lasted like 6 hours. Look, we had the Essex cosplayers there. A little shout out, and that just didn't stop for 6 hours. It was unbelievable, and I can't thank everybody enough. It was a crazy day.
I'll share some pictures of it when this goes out, but it looked like a brilliant day. What I want to know is the day before that Friday. That Friday night, when you're tucked up in bed in your Superman pajamas and your hot chocolate, what was going through? That's it. I was. See, I know. What was going through your mind? What were you thinking?
I think, like, I took the shop on, and I was lucky. Like, the guy I'm renting it for, like, gave me the keys weeks and weeks earlier, so I could start preparing and getting ready. And believe me, it took me 10 weeks to get it. How it look? It doesn't look a lot, but it took 10 weeks to get it ready in time out of work and stuff. And on the Friday night, going to bed, I was just like, oh, we're doing this in the morning. It was all prepared. I was back up Friday night, and we just got up Saturday. Me, my wife, my son, and his girlfriend, or his ex-girlfriend, we all went up there as a little team. Ben, DCTV Ben, came along to do some videoing. He ended up being the storeman for like 3 hours. Actually, it got to a point, I went out the back to get something, and he was still there helping Erica with stock coming out. And I thought he'd gone, and it was like, oh, I love it. It's great. And I thought he'd gone home. So, Saturday night was the one. I couldn't sleep Saturday night, just catching up on all the social media and the pictures. Incredible.
It looked buzzing, and I'm going to be coming down soon. I can't wait for it. Now, you told me, you mentioned to me before that there's a back part to this shop where all your stock is. Yeah.
Yeah.
When are you going to start making a little podcast studio out there, eh?
Oh, there's space, trust me. Like,
see?
That door there, I can get out to my nice back office kitchen, and there's a nice bit of space there. So there's a lot of potential I can do out there. Even just, we can have people down in the shop and do stuff, Luke. Trust me. There is potential everywhere.
Right. See, if there's a kitchen as well, we can start doing some cooking videos as well.
There's a kitchen and there's a toilet, everything.
Oh, good. That's something else. I mean, that was something that we did during lockdown, was that Park Row.
Yeah.
Was just, they weren't really a restaurant then, Park Row, the DC Comics inspired restaurant in London. It was, they were more food at home, which was an interesting thing. And they would send out themed meals for films and sort of movie series, and you could make your own meals at home. And they sent out a Justice League box set to us, which was an amazing day. Had a big belly burger, which I was very excited about. And from that relationship that we all built up through the Warner Brothers and DC Comics fan base, is that they opened up Park Row in London.
Yeah.
We've been there a few times. It's an interesting clubhouse. But if we are all in London for an event, it's normally Park Row where we would go to hang out. And it's such a unique situation and location. Our first night there was just, it was like a fantasy. It was like I was dreaming. It was everything from going into like a secret little Bruce Wayne living room through an actual bookcase that I'm looking behind you in the Geek Garage shop. I'm looking for a secret door.
Is that one?
Is that one there? That's it. But Park Row, tell me about your memories of Park Row Paul?
I'll never forget the first time I found out. And believe it or not, it was a guy called John Hammond. He used to write for my website, DC World. And he worked for like the local council authority. And it was the Park Row stuff come up. And he started chatting to like the owners and stuff. And they sent some plans how it was going to look. Then it took a while, I think, with COVID or whatever happened. And then it sort of happened. And then we were lucky enough to get invited, Luke. And boy, did they look after us. It was have what you want. Anything's there. And what I love most, not only going to somewhere like that, it was being like with you and Tasmin and Ben and the others. And to share these events together makes it that more special because we're all fans and we're all into it. And probably on our own, we'd feel a bit out of out of place, or you don't know how to react or how to be. It's quite a fancy place, but it's anyone can go there.
Possibly the fanciest of restaurants I've ever been to. I've never seen as much cutlery on my table as there was before. But again, we were all there together, and it made it more enjoyable. It was fantastic service. We met James there, one of the owners, and he gave us a tour of the whole restaurant. If you haven't seen this restaurant, there are photographs online and there are videos online, but they do not do the place justice. Excuse the pun. It's everything from the moment you go there to the moment you leave. Even looking at the building outside, it looks like it is straight out of Gotham. And seeing what it looks like inside and downstairs without any spoilers, it is such a unique place to go. And I can't wait to go back. And I think we've got a few more trips planned this year. And I can't wait to get some more of those cocktails. Because they're strong. Sure.
We don't talk about cocktails, Luke, after the year.
Oh, yes, there was a Shazam event there a few months ago. And it was, again, they treated us very, very well, gave us all sorts of cocktails. And it was a brilliant night of catching up and hanging out with all these fellow bloggers that over the years have become very good friends. And it's great to see that. We've all got our own ways of telling a story and sharing our reviews and how we create our content. If everybody's content was the same, it would be boring. But we've all got our own way of doing things. And yeah, it's an interesting year for DC Comics. There's Blue Beetle, The Flash is coming out. There's more games, there's more TV. So
Aquaman as well coming.
See, it's all coming out. That was another one when we were at the Aquaman premiere many years ago.
Yeah.
That was another one. We didn't know who we would meet, but you were there, Kibbs was there, and Tasmin was there.
Yeah, that was a special one.
That's what I get every now and again when I'm getting up and trying to wake up and get ready for the day job. I'll open up Time Hop and there'll be some sort of fantastic memory where we've done something wonderful in the past. And I've got to sort of pinch myself and then actually get ready for the day job. You think, well, the day job can fund the hobby, so it's fine. I shall get out of bed for this. But, yeah, we've had some fantastic moments over the years. And it is hard to pick some favourites because there's something different comes from each one. But what have you learned about yourself over the years as a blogger, as DC World and the Geek Garage?
I think it's not always about like this. At the beginning, I was. You have to like post 50 posts a day or whatever to keep this audience going. You don't have to anymore. You can just post daily, weekly, whatever's going on in your mind at the time, whatever's going on in the world at the time. Things have announcement dates and times or leaks come out. I've got a lot more professional from the beginning days of where, for instance, the trailer's coming out. We would wait and get the official one from Warner Brothers. It's a certain time. It might leak out early, but we're pretty good on not leaking it as well. On the early days, I'd have been sharing the hell out of it. And some of them don't know if that's what they want or not. So we'll wait till the certain times and things like that. So I've got a lot more professional in myself. I've learned that you don't have to keep tweeting 10 times a day or Instagramming. I'll just keep going with the flow. This has took a lot of my time up lately, but I'm going to certainly be getting back into the swing of things, even maybe doing some live stuff from there, you know. But yeah, I've just learned to be patient, chase your dreams. Stuff comes around and just work hard, because if you want to succeed, you've just got to work hard in life. It doesn't just come naturally. Things will then come. And I've noticed that certainly the last few years, especially with Warner Brothers UK and DC UK Comics. It's just been a whirlwind. Sometimes you're just sitting there one day and you get one random email, or you'll get five emails of all this amazing opportunity and you're like, Oh my God, what is going on?
Yeah, it'll be like a bus. Everything will just come along at once. It's normally in threes as well. And again, with the world of movie releases and cinematic releases, it's all very quick. You will be given a date of when a film is released, like a year or 2 years before. Things can change. Stories can change. But when a film is due to be released soon, we're all pretty much on tenterhooks. We have to sort of be aware that we could get in, we might not get an email, or we might get an email. It's, you know, sometimes we've been invited to events and we've not seen other people there, or we've not gone. In those moments, it's not about being disappointed, it's about always being happy for the other people that are there. But it's always very last minute. It's like you'll get an email saying, could you possibly maybe make it to London next Tuesday? And it's like, okay, you start crunching numbers in your head and chasing the red string, thinking, well, this film comes out and this TV show comes out, what could it be? But normally it's normally something very, very fun that we are aware of. So we will know that a film is coming out. And if we get an email, we can sometimes assume that we might meet each other in London, but we will never know for sure, because we know how important those special signatures are.
I enjoy even, not everyone makes every event. We all live quite far away from each other, but London's like a neutral place for everybody. I enjoy even some events I've had to miss in the past or I can't get part of. Watching you guys or any of you, and just like watching your feed and what you're getting up to. And I enjoy it as a fan. And it's weird when we meet up next. It's just like, I know we're not celebrities, but it's like when we meet each other, it's all like, oh, it's us again. And it's like watching, I've been watching you. Yeah, you've done this last week. It was like Super Pets. Everyone done that on the Sunday and I couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And I love to have gone. And it was just watching everyone's stuff they was posting. It was nice to, because I wasn't there, to see it all like natural and raw. It was nice.
Yeah, there's no FOMO. There is no fear of missing out, because we're happy for everyone that is doing things and getting on. And, you know, as you said, chasing their dreams.
Yeah.
We've been, again, with the DC family, we've all been consistent with our work over the years. We haven't really sort of taken a break as such. I mean, I've taken a break from the podcast, but I've still been online. I've still been vocal and posting things. And we've been used to doing that for so long. Is that we like the excitement still of tomorrow night the new trailer is being released for this film, or tomorrow we're going to get a new poster for this. We're always at the bottom of it. We are always going to be fans of what we promote, because and I mean there's more of us coming out. There's always more fans coming around, and like you, we get asked these things of, oh, how can we be invited to this screening, and how can we get that DVD sent through the post? And the one that we've gotten a few times is, oh, can you please give me the contacts of your people at Warner Brothers? Can you share those emails? And we're like, sorry, that's like a big no-no. That's not cool.
Not just me, it's their messages then. So I'm quite good replying on those ones there. So just anyone watching this is gonna know, like, there are so many contacts and different departments. It's just random who's gonna contact you for what, where and when. And there's no like direct line or anyone. You can't call anybody. It just happens, and you're just on this list, and this list goes around the departments, and we're lucky we're not sometimes. Unfortunately, there's no like one specific person you can contact. It's just work hard and it does come around.
That's it. I mean, we've given people the same advice as well. Like, you know, every website has got a press department where you can send an email and you can offer your services, as it were. Why, you need to sort of ask yourself, why would this company want me to promote their movie? What can I offer them for them to let me in, as it were? And yeah, every time we get an invite to Warner Brothers or DC, for me, it's a pinch me moment, because Warner Brothers and DC Comics, you know, they're essentially Superman's boss. So I'm an ambassador for Superman. So I have to act with honesty and integrity at all times. Yeah. But those pinch me moments, I, you know, one day they will end, sadly. But we've got some fantastic memories from working for these companies. And
oh, absolutely.
If you had to pick a favorite, if you had to pick a memory that you could watch on loop in your head, apart from meeting Henry Cavill, that I wasn't jealous about at all, Paul, what's been one of your favorite memories as a DC world?
Oh, one of the favourite memories. One of the favourite memories. Do you know what one of my favourite memories? It's probably not meeting any of the actors and that, because that's become more natural when they're real people over the time. You don't get starstruck. It was probably the dinner we had for Shazam together, because we was all there. And it was a great fun night, even after. We'd all had a couple of drinks, some a couple more than others, and before and after. And I still blame Tasman for the baby Guinnesses that night.
Baby Guinness, that was a concept.
I was hanging that next day. We had to go back to London. It was a two-day event, remember? And we had to go to meet Zachary Levi and David F. Sandberg. And I was hanging that morning. I don't know how. Once I got to London, I started to get better. But that night there at the Shazam meal all together was one of my favourite nights, because we was all together. We was all chatting. It was a good laugh. And it was just us in that little private room at the back of Park Row.
And it was, I mean, it was sort of Shazam inspired. There were lots of Shazam colours and Shazam drinks. But it was more of us to sort of get there and have a nice relaxing night before watching Shazam the next day. And as you said, the drinks were flowing and we had those baby Guinness drinks, which were, they were quite dangerous, to say the least. Yeah. But I think the next day you had a few coffees before we met Zachary and David, and that helped you out. You had a hangover combined with some excited feelings, but you pulled it off. You were fine. And you looked very dapper, and it was all good for the next day. But
it was. I done well. My acting was well there that day. It was a spot.
You did very well. But yeah, that was a special night, and that is one that it was a fantastic week. Well, but yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one. Whenever we get to be just to meet up as friends in London is always a treat. But tell us more about the DC World Shop and Geek Garage, Paul. Where can people find you online and now in real life? Where can they find you?
So, if you want to find me as DC World, you can go on the website dcworld.org.uk, which is also on Twitter @_DCWorld, and on Instagram @DCWorld_, also on Facebook. The Geek Garage, however, is at geekgarage.co.uk. All the Funko Pops, collectibles and more online. Or new shop, this one here, is at 73 High Street, Wickford, Essex, SS129AQ. Now, after this goes out, it's going to be open weekends, but the plan is going to be phasing into the weekdays, and hopefully it's going to be my day job all the time. So always on a weekend, it's definitely open, everyone. Thank you.
Yep, I'm going to be coming down soon. I'm going to have to record some episodes of the podcast of Steel live from Geek Garage.
No embargoes for me. It's all free roaming, Luke.
That's fine. That's great. We can get that worked out. Oh. So one last thing, Paul. I want to get back into this because it's a question that I love asking people before we wrap up the podcast. Paul, you're a Superman fan like me. What does Superman mean to you, Paul?
What does Superman mean to me? Do you know what? I think, in a weird way, I'm not from another planet. I relate to him a bit. And I think, you know, like, he lost his parents. I've now lost my parents. But I was always a Superman fan from a kid. It was probably one of the first movies I saw on Betamax video.
Nice.
Google it if you don't know what Betamax
is. That's
it. Anybody.
There's going to be people, what the hell is a VHS or a Betamax?
Poor VHS. And we rented that off of a van that used to come around. And I fell in love with Superman from there. Christopher Reeve will never be topped. And just stuff that happens throughout life. And then the story of him and what's happened to him. And I don't know. Yeah, it just means the world to me, Luke, to be fair. He's my ultimate guy and he's like untouchable. And my son will slate me. He's too overpowered, blah, blah, blah. He's my guy. Everyone likes Batman and stuff, but Superman's my man, Luke. You know that.
I knew there was a reason why I liked you so much, Paul. I said, I knew there was something there deep under the surface. Yeah. But no, very good answer. Very good answer. Well, thanks so much. It's always been a pleasure chatting with you. It's been a long time coming to get you on the podcast, but this is the first time. You're going to be back on for sure in the future. And I need to get down to the Geek Garage soon. Yeah. First of all, you need some Geek of Steel stickers around the place. So I'll be working.
Absolutely.
You're getting some swag through the post, Paul. So thanks so much, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for doing what you do. It's always nice when you get these other bloggers like yourself that become friends, and it makes it even more exciting. So keep doing what you're doing, Paul.
You too, Luke, because you inspire me and everyone else. You're so positive. It's amazing. And This has been amazing. Thanks for having me on, mate.
No worries. Take care, Paul. Good luck with the shop. Good luck with
Thank
everything.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon. Take care, pal.
Cheers, Luke.
And that was episode 2. Paul, thank you so much for joining me to talk about all your passions and your business and the way in which you bring entertainment to so many people across your channels. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming back. Thank you for watching if you're on YouTube. I'm really enjoying this process of bringing the show back, and I'm always learning new things and new techniques and learning where I could have done things a bit better. But the goal is just to have fun, to enjoy my time with this podcast, to share my adventures and my passions with all of you, and to speak with like-minded people like Paul about what brings us joy. And what more is there than joy? I can't get enough joy. It's good stuff. I am Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Please like, comment, review, subscribe, share, all that good stuff. You can find me online. Just search for Luke Bug, the Geek of Steel, and you will find me. And I will be back very soon with a brand new episode of the Podcast of Steel.